And I believe I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. And how are you?
I am good. I am good. Ready for the first parsha from the beginning.
That's right. We're all the way back to the beginning. You know, now if you look, we had an inspiring holiday season for the last, 3 weeks, from the powerful messages of Rosh Hashanah to the phenomenal energy that every person gets on Yom Kippur, to the amazing joy of Sukkot, to the amazing joy and dancing of Simchat Torah.
Yeah.
The question then is, we're so on a high with so much spiritual energy.
And food,
absolutely, and l'chaims and dancing and everything else that goes with it. But now what? What do we do with it? And, it's interesting because there was a question asked once, I was reading it, that a person was dancing with the Torah, Simchat Torah, and someone came over to him and says, "What is this? How dare you dance with the Torah? You never come to shul Rosh Hashanah. You never come to shul, not even Yom Kippur. You're never in shul. You're never in synagogue. You're never anything. You're not a part of anything. You don't associate. You don't practice. You don't do anything. And now you come and you're dancing with the Torah so happy like you've learned it all year. What's wrong with you? How can you?" And the answer, I was thinking about it and I was looking. I mean, that is the beauty of Torah, and that is the beauty of Judaism, that is the beauty of godliness, spirituality. Someone was telling to me, and I said, it makes so much sense. When a person gets a line of credit from a bank or from wherever, you feel happy. Now I can do a lot of things with it. I got my line of credit. I was approved. God comes in Simchat Torah and extends a line of credit to every single individual person and says, the Torah is here for all of you. Were you in shul? You weren't in synagogue. You practiced. You didn't practice. Whatever it may be, I'm giving you now a line of credit. Here you go. And so when we're dancing with the Torah, we're happy. We're excited. We're so elated that God has given us that opportunity to do what we need to do and connect with Him. And, we had an amazing Simchas Torah event on Simchas Torah night. It was dancing, and over 120 people were there, was dancing with the Torah and eating, and as one people, no matter who you were observant, not observant, Torah Jew, not a Torah Jew, you learned, you didn't learn, you studied, it didn't make a difference. Everyone was dancing as we loved the Torah. And what happened? We finished the Torah, and we didn't say, okay, now we're finished, let's have a break and enjoy. And so, no. Simchat Torah day, we read the last portion of the Torah. Right away, we started all the way back to the beginning, the first book of Bereshit, which is what we'll talk about for a few minutes today. Bereshit is where we know that God created the world in 6 days, so on and so forth. On the first day, He makes darkness and light. On the second day, heavens, dividing the waters and the lower waters. And on the third day, He sets boundaries of the land and the sea. And the fourth day, He fixes the position of the sun and the moon and the stars. And we then see then, the next day was the fish and the birds. On the sixth day, God created human beings. And God ceases to work on the seventh day, and He rests. What do we see? We also see that Adam and Eve are placed in the Garden of Eden, and they're commanded not to eat from the Etz HaDa'at, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And obviously everyone knows the story. The serpent persuades Eve to violate the command, and she shares the forbidden fruit with her husband. And because of their sin, it is decreed that man will experience death, returning to the self from which he was formed, and that man then eventually was banished from the garden. Now let's look at this for a second. Let's think about this. If we are all descendants of Adam and Eve, then it stands to reason that our characteristics, both in the positive and in the negative, can all somehow be traced back to our earliest ancestors. if one studies the accounts of first man's first sin, as is brought down in the Talmud and the Medrash and the interpretation, one is really struck by a most remarkable observation, which is the commandment not to eat from the tree of knowledge was given to Adam and Eve only after most of Friday, which was the sixth day when they were created, had passed. And furthermore, the prohibition of not to eat was only until Shabbat. And it's not as if they were eating nothing, that there was nothing there to eat. There was a whole Garden of Eden with trees galore. They could have started, you know, eating a pear, a beautiful mango. Did they really have to eat from the one and only tree that was forbidden to them in such a small period of time? They couldn't wait. And if you look even further, which makes the argument and the question even stronger, you know, Adam and Eve were not just a couple of homeless people or hobos or that type of thing. They were handmade by God. He formed and fashioned them. And you would think such incredible creatures, individual people, could have waited a few hours, occupied themselves with other food. Why did they have to have that specific food? And there are many, many different reasons, but I think one which really should really speak to everyone and has a very important message is, we all know the answer is, forbidden fruit is always sweeter. And we play mind games. We imagine that one forbidden fruit in a paradise with dozens of other options has simply got to be the most deliciously amazing fruit on the planet. And we just have to get our hands on it, and we have to get on it now. So we do the same thing as Adam and Eve. But when it comes to our own choices, we rationalize. However, their sin was deemed, you know, ridiculous, foolish, unforgivable. And the truth is that it's always the same story all over again. It's the psychology of sin. It doesn't matter how difficult something is. It might be the easiest commandment, but once we have to do it, it becomes difficult in our mind. And you think about it, and this is how it makes so much sense, because is it really so hard to be a Jew? Are our traditions so overburdening? Is the Torah so demanding and burdensome? Are all those who do keep it such saints and such holy people? Of course not. It's all in the mind. I'll give you a few examples. Is playing golf, and now this is not intended to anyone, I'm just trying to bring out my point. Yeah. Is playing golf on Saturday so much more fun than on Sunday? We can walk and jog for miles all week long. But to walk a mile, for example, to shul on Shabbat, is not even up for discussion. If we're really honest and objective, we will recognize the truth. Because the psychology of sin is that we imagine things to be more difficult than they really are. Just as Adam imagined the forbidden fruit to be sweeter than all the others. He had one mitzvah, a few hours, right, from the end when he was given to the end of Friday till Shabbat started. He still blew it. No doubt it would be the same for us, even if all of Judaism were reduced to one easy commandment. We would still complain and say, "Not forget about 630 commandments, just one." We would still complain and say, "Oi, it's too hard." So we have to get over that idea and say, you know what, let's look at the beauty of the mitzvah. Let's look at the amazing opportunity and the amazing responsibility that God has entrusted in us. And that's where we see Bereshit. In the beginning, God created, the world was peaceful, the world was sinless. There was nothing there. We are the ones that are causing and creating all of these problems or issues that we think are a problem, because we're allowing our mind and we're allowing everything that's in us to overcome and to take part and to take over us. And that's the message that we take from Simchat Torah, from Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. God is here. He's giving us that line of credit. He just wants us to be part of it. Do a little bit. The more you do a little bit, the more you're going to want. You're going to want to do more. But if you don't do anything, how are you going to understand and know that there's the beauty, the amazing taste of Judaism, of Torah, is there for every single person, regardless of who you are, to take part of it? And I think that is a very strong message, and we can each take a part in us, especially now that we're just starting now. The new book, let's energize ourselves. Let's make sure that we take the lessons of the Torah and apply them to our lives, that the life that we're going to live is going to be a honest, ethical, and Torah life in everything that we do.
Yep.
So that is a small, short Torah lesson that we can learn from this week's Torah portion.
Yeah. Okay, and Rabbi, what about services?
So we have services Friday evenings at 6:15, Shabbat morning is at 9:30, Sunday morning is at 8:30, followed by a wonderful breakfast, and Monday and Thursday 7:15 at the Parrot's House, and it's a great way to start the week, and off you go, straight to work.
That's it. Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You
and,
too.
And great weekend.
You too, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
Same here.
Be well, Professor.
Thank you.